we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If you're visiting with us, we appreciate your attendance this morning. Sunday is absolutely the best day of the week. We made that observation in class this morning. It doesn't get any better than Sunday, where we come together, we sing songs of praise to our great, benevolent, redemptive God, and we spend a little bit of time with one another. And we thank you. We thank you for being involved with that effort this morning. Deuteronomy 34. I want us to begin by reading this chapter. Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. No one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. And by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. And so concludes the story of Moses. Even though we live in a post-newspaper world, newspaper was that little bitty paper that had information on it for the younger people. It was kind of like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but it was different. It was on paper. That's that little bitty fabric, kind of like this. But I wanted to explain that a little bit because I know there's a difference that not everybody remembers newspapers. There was a section of newspapers that has lasted, the obituary section. What will yours say? Maybe it'll read like one I read this past week. Individual was reported as missing and then assumed dead when he was piloting a single-engine aircraft and it crashed off the coast somewhere. But investigators were a little confused because the family said he didn't know how to fly a plane. Maybe why he crashed. I don't know. Maybe yours will read something comical. It will quote your comic genius, your witty humor, your sarcastic side. Maybe that's mine. But yours will say something. It will acknowledge something. You were this great influence in the community. You had a part in the school system. You were a valued employee. You were a good husband or father or wife or mother. It will say something. What will it say? The challenging aspect, or maybe the more intriguing aspect, to an obituary. It will be written after you die. It will be put pen to paper after your death. Your family is what gathers around and writes this information. But that's not to say you don't have a part in it, because you're writing it right now. It's just they're going to sit down and compile that information and put it on paper. But you are writing it now. Essentially what we're looking at in Deuteronomy 34 is the obituary of Moses, especially those verses beginning in about 6 and on through the end of the chapter. There's some interesting statements in that context. And, of course, scholarly work is quite interesting on this chapter because Moses dies. So who actually writes this? Is it Moses, inspired by God, who writes before his death? Or is it Joshua, after Moses dies, who writes about Moses' death? It really makes no difference because either way, the source is God himself, whether it's the pen of Moses or the pen of Joshua. There's four statements in this chapter, though. Four statements that I tell you must be said about you. What will your obituary say? Four things, all right here in Deuteronomy 34. I want you to notice how Moses himself is described. Moses in chapter 34, verse 5, he says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." Of course, that's a very interesting concept that he actually states there. The servant of the Lord, that's who Moses is. He's called and identified as a servant of the Lord. He also says he died there according to the word of the Lord. I love that little statement in that context. Folks, that is such an appropriate description of the death of Moses because that was an appropriate description of the life of Moses. Everything Moses did went back to his servant spirit, to God, and living according to the word of the Lord. So it almost seems poetic and natural that his death is according to the word of the Lord. This is who he was. You go back through the spirit, you go back through the passages that detail his story, his life. Every description, every time you turn around, he's doing things according to the word of the Lord. You go back and look when he's called at the burning bush. He's told to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And he responds. He lives according to the word of the Lord. God tells him, "You write down the law and you put it in books that the Israelites can read it for all the generations to come forward." And Moses does according to the word of the Lord. Or God tells him, "Here's the instructions for the tabernacle. Here's the parameters for acceptable, appropriate worship." And the last several chapters of Exodus detail the building of the tabernacle. And every time you turn around, it was that it was according to the word of the Lord. Moses was a servant of God. And every decision he made went back to the concept of, "I want to do it according to the word of the Lord." Your obituary may say a whole lot of things, but you get this one right, the rest of it's going to be easy breezy. You want to be a good husband? You want that obituary to say that? You want that to be your legacy, that you were a good husband? Then be a good servant of the Lord. You want your legacy to be that you were a good father, or you were a good wife, or you were a good mother, you were a good sister or a brother? Then you get this one right. And the rest of them will trickle out just fine. Folks, fundamentally, this has got to be who we are. Servants of the Most High. Servants of the true and living God. I read these obituaries sometimes. Every now and then I'm puzzled. So-and-so was a faithful member of the church of which they belonged. And you could put wherever. And like, "No, I saw that person. They were fishing every Sunday." Only thing they were faithful about was the pond or pool, or I don't know what you call them down here. Seems like everywhere has got a different little designator. But they were faithful fishers. Not so faithful in attendance. They were active. They were engaged. They were involved. With what? Folks, if we can get this one right, this is the bedrock. This is the foundation that every other principle builds on. It goes back to, if we can be faithful to God, we can get these other parts right. We can be faithful in other areas of our life. Moses was a servant of the Lord because he put God first. And may I say, he did it even when there were few others willing to do it. You go back and read through the historical account and you look at some of the rebellions. You look at the rebellion of Korah, or just before that, you look at the spies when they come back from the land of Canaan, and everybody's turning against God and God's will and God's way and God's word. And there's Moses and there's Joshua and there's Caleb, the only ones saying, we can take the land. Moses was a servant of the Lord. I want you to notice this. Moses, the servant of the Lord. This is verse 5. He died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Notice verse 6. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Boy, that is an interesting comment. This is God buried Moses. That's who he's talking about in that text. God buried Moses. In fact, I read one writer who called this the grandest funeral in the history of the world because it was the only funeral that shows God was at. God was there. Let me tell you something, folks. You want God to be there at your funeral, you better make sure he's in your life. Because if you don't welcome him in your life, he's not going to show up in your death, except as judge. And had he not high honor, the hillside for his pall, to lie in state while angels wait, with stars for tapers tall, and the dark rock pines like tossing plumes over his bier to wave, and God's own hand in that lonely land to lay him in the grave. That's an excerpt from a rather lengthy poem in 1851. God's own hand put this man in the grave. He was a servant of the Lord. Number two, and I want you to consider how it words this, his eyes were not dim. Notice how he says it. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Certainly there's a miraculous thing at work here. You don't live to be 120 years old without having some eye failure issues. That just doesn't work that way. If I just crushed your plans and dreams, I'm really, really, really sorry. But you just don't keep your vision. The older you get, the more of it you lose. Not in Moses' case. Now, this is miraculous. Please understand me. This is miraculous. But I will tell you something. Poetically, this was such an appropriate description of who Moses was. His eyes didn't diminish. He kept focused on what he was supposed to do. His eyes remained on the prize, we might say. He was relentlessly determined to be a servant of the Lord. And every time you turn around, he's focused on what needs to be done. May that be said of us. May we not lose our youthfulness, our determination, our spirit. May we not lose the drive. Far too many people age out in their minds and they quit working. They think they have accomplished what they need to accomplish and they kind of back it off. No. Don't let off the gas. Keep pushing it. You don't get to retire. You don't get to lay it aside. You can't afford for your eyes to quit focusing on what we're trying to do here and who we're ultimately trying to glorify. His eyes didn't diminish. His natural vigor did not diminish. He kept an appropriate perspective on life. In fact, that's one of the ways the Hebrew writer describes him in Hebrews chapter 11. He was able to avoid, he was able to say no to the passing pleasures of sin offered to him in Egypt because he was focused on the greater riches in Christ. He was focused on being a servant of the Lord. Paul makes a similar plea. In fact, Roy read it in the scripture reading from 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, He said, man, I'm still going. He said, yeah, it's getting close. The finish line approaches, but I've got work to do and I'm going to keep doing it. That was his spirit. His eyes would not dim. He kept focused. He kept intentional. Let me ask you a question. Is that how your family will remember you? They're going to have memories of you. How will they remember you? Of course, maybe that's not fair. I read one obituary that said, we will post all of his accomplishments if we can find any. Well, maybe that's you. I don't know. They said they're still looking, though. They hadn't given up hope that he might have some accomplishments out there. And when they find them, they'll get them published. I thought, boy, that's a legacy to leave. Is this the way your family will remember you? This was an individual who stayed so intensely focused. His eyes did not dim. Number three. It says here in Deuteronomy 34, in verse 8, that the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. There's nothing overtly special about that. That was actually the customary period of mourning. Nothing special. Moses dies, they wept for him for 30 days. That was the custom. You know, a sad observation. There are some people that no one will weep for. They made no lasting impression. They left no legacy. They were not a spiritual force at all. They made no impression on the future generations, and nobody wept for them. Don't be that. Be the person that's striving to make a difference. Be the person worth weeping over. Be the person that leaves an impression, that makes a difference. And it is remarkable how little you have to do to leave a lasting legacy. To be that person of absolute encouragement. That person who builds up the Barnabas, like John spoke about in his invitation Wednesday night. Be the Barnabas. People remember Barnabas. Be the Ananias in Saul's conversion story. People remember Ananias. Be somebody who's trying to make a difference. Or you're just giving nobody cause to remember you. They wept for Moses. You know, there are some that they'd be gone for 30 days and nobody'd know it. Moses was so engaged. Moses was so involved. Moses was so intentional about his servants to the Lord that when he was gone, they all noticed. They wept for him. Be somebody that's worth missing. I know that almost goes without saying, but it needs to be said. Be somebody worth missing. I want you to consider this final point. This is Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. In verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun, full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him, did as the Lord commanded Moses. Notice what he says, verse 10. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants and all the land, and by all that mighty power, and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Won't you think about that in verse 10? Has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses. I want you to think about the impact Moses had. Moses is the one sent back into Egypt to get the Israelites out. Moses is the one who spoke to God at the burning bush. Moses is the one who became the mouthpiece of God in a corrupt society. Moses is the one who leads them out of the Exodus across the Red Sea. Moses is the one who makes intercession on their behalf time and time and time again. Moses is the one who goes up Mount Sinai and makes conversation with God when all Israel's too afraid to approach him. Moses is the one who saves them time and time again. The record says nobody was like him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in fact, we're in the book, flip over there, Deuteronomy 6. Hold your spot in Deuteronomy 34. In Deuteronomy 6, this is one of the great themes of the law of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Folks, Moses is the one who wrote this. Moses is the one who said, love the Lord your God. Moses set an example for all Israel to follow. Keep reading, verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall write them as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. He goes on to say, make God the only priority. This is who Moses was. Every time you turn around in the law of God, he's saying, keep God's promises, keep God's promises. If you don't, there's curses that will take over you. You take the land of Israel, you take what God promised to you, but if you don't keep his covenant, there's curses that await. He was a mouthpiece, a prophet of God. Will that be part of your legacy? Every one of us have memories of parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, or great-great-grandparents. I'm running out of greats, but you get the concept. What do you remember about them? Well, Grandpa would not stop talking about God. Will that be how your grandchildren remember you? Well, Grandpa, he just invited everybody. Grandpa would make you uncomfortable in places because he couldn't stop talking about God long enough to do anything. Is that how your family will remember you? I'll tell you something, folks. Moses made an impression on these people. Moses made a difference on these people, so much so that when Joshua takes command, when Joshua becomes the leader, Joshua continues in the footsteps of Moses, so much so that Joshua's legacy was the same. Is that the impression you're leaving? Not only will you be the leader that God determined you should be, but you're going to leave a legacy of leadership. Helping instill those values in the future generation. Folks, we need leaders. We need people willing to step up and say, this is God's way. And I'm going to continue in it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to continue in it. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure my children continue in it. Is that the legacy you're leaving? What will your family remember you by? My grandparents were a little older. But I remember them both. They endearingly called each other Daddy and Mama. I guess it was a habit left over from raising my mom and my uncle. But I always remember that. Daddy, what do you think about this? Oh, Mama, not much. Tell you what I do remember about them too, beyond that. If you went to a public restaurant with them,
They had laser beam eyes that could spot a small kid in a restaurant. And, buddy, it didn't matter who was talking or what story they were telling. They were nudging the other one saying, look at the baby. Look at the baby over there. They love babies. It was super uncomfortable when you were a little boy. Quit talking about all the babies, okay? It's weird in our culture today. Our granny and poppy didn't care. What memories will your children or grandchildren have of you? You know what I remember about Grandpa? Boy, he couldn't sing to carry a tune in a bucket. But buddy, when it came to worship, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, that dude was belting it out. He had passion. I remember Grandma. She couldn't do much. She always felt like she was kind of an insignificant servant. But anybody who was sick, she's going to talk to them. She's making a phone call. She's taking them some kind of food. She was a servant of God's people. Is that the legacy you're leaving for them? Or are they going to remember what team you rooted for the loudest? Are they going to remember how passionate you were about Aggie football? Let me tell you, that little 250-word article in the newspaper, it's pretty revealing. It's pretty revealing who you gave your allegiance to. Is it King Jesus? Is it your alma mater? Is it all the letters and acronyms in front of your name? Is it all the retirement investments you had? Is it how financially stable you left your family? Is it how much of a loving parent you were? Folks, if you don't get some of the list here, I don't care what's in your obituary. It's a sad 200-word article. But if we can get this, if we can get this right, then that's a little article worth reading. Maybe yours will be funny. Maybe it will reveal what kind of a comic genius you were. Maybe it will depict how much you loved your family, how sacrificial you were, or the impact you had on your community, the difference you made in so many people's lives. Let me tell you something, folks. It's got to say, a true servant of the Lord. One who kept their eyes fixed upon King Jesus. One who we will weep for, but one we certainly rejoice with. One who pointed people back to Jesus like nobody I've ever met. Is that what yours would say? Is that how yours would read? Moses, a legacy that he left for God's people. Do you have a need of this congregation this morning? You've been living in a way that would bring dishonor to God as king, as sovereign ruler. We want to help you. If you've been a Christian and went back into this world of sin, please fix it before it's eternally too late. I don't want to read sad obituaries. But when you see that tag, that servant of the Lord, buddy, that's one that brings comfort. Which will yours be? Can we help you this morning? We'd love to, if you're willing to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right?